Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast.
If you like a lot of wrestling on YouTube, join our cult. Hello, welcome to another fantastic, jam-filled episode of the Cultaholic Weekly Podcast. You are listening and maybe watching to the dulcet tones of Mafu, joined by his favourite people in all of wrestling, Jack the Jobber.
Hello.
And Ross on Wrestling.
What flavour jam, Matthew?
Blackberry.
Oh, controversial. I'm a raspberry man, personally.
I will settle for raspberry, but like spider bait, oh, blackberry, that makes jam. Jack, what jam do you like?
Yeah, I like raspberry jam, strawberry jam, partially a bit of marmalade now and again. That's not jam, obviously, but it's in the same wheelhouse.
You know what I like?
Go on.
I thought you finished. I'm sorry.
No, I was pretty much.
Sweet. I'll continue then. Honey.
Oh, yeah.
You can put it on toast, you can put it on porridge, and it never expires.
Versatile.
Just like this podcast. Apparently, it's immortal.
Well, blow me down.
It's the Rey Mysterio of the condiments world.
That's right. If Rey Mysterio's knees were made of honey, he'd be champion right now.
Yes.
And we take a brief detour from Happy Land to go to the news. And obviously this is supposed to be a more upbeat, happy news place as compared to the rest of the places on Wrestling World. However, it has been a crap week of wrestling for news. We'll start with the negative first. Rest in peace, Shad Gaspard. Most famous for his tag team with Crime Time, the JTG. Horrible event, and he was swimming, got caught in a riptide, I believe, and used his last bit of energy to help his kid out before getting lost at sea, before Benji being refound. A truly horrible way to go out, but it's nice. Again, we look at the rather celebrate someone's life than focus on the death. The fact that this has happened, and Twitter is awash with people speaking about how great Shad Gaspard was. Fellow wrestlers, promoters, even Dave Meltzer himself coming out and saying positive things about Shad Gaspard. It's nice to see in this age of people used to like turning bad on social media when the opposite happening. So, yeah. Jack, any thoughts or any favourite Shad memories?
All the stories were Shad, right. So Crime Time was right in my sort of lapsed period when I stopped watching. But since going back and watching some of their matches, they're just really fun, weren't they? Very charismatic guys. And it's really nice that all these stories have come out. And he just seems like he was the best guy. He seems like a really, really sound bloke. And that's really nice. Ross?
He died a hero, didn't he? Final act on this planet was getting his son to safety. And speaks volume of the guy, obviously. Favourite segment for me was when Crime Time made Regal dance like that? Doing all jazz hands and all that malarkey with Vince McMahon in the room as well. That was a hoot.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But that's the thing, innit? You haven't seen a negative word about him. Everyone who seems to have, like, because I never met him, but everyone who did just has good words about him. So what more can you say than that?
Well said. And like you said, ooze charisma, which helped them when they did that one-time appearance on Raw in England and went, money, money, crowd. Yeah. Those euros. Boo, boo. Which apparently, according to, I think, JTD's book, he said, they don't do euros here. It's pounds sterling. And the guys backstage went, say it. Say euros.
Oh, so they knew.
All right,
they
it's
knew.
Not right. They went it and booed and went, look, and went, whatever. So don't know what that was about. Again, sticking with the sadness, Larry Zonka, probably not a name that everybody listening to this will know, but he was a very influential and important writer for 411 Mania wrestling side for bloody decades, maybe, at this point. Just very entertaining what he did, very thorough in his writing, analysis and reviews, had a style that was lovely, sarcastic, to the point of twattery, to be honest with you, but back then that's what we did, we were very negative. And he passed away earlier this week due to, I believe, complications to diabetes, but don't quote me on that. Was this before your time, Jack and Ross?
I was going to say, when I was first getting back into wrestling, it was via things like OSW and Euro and Botchamania as well. And also, his were the reports that I'd read for like former Mania to catch up on what was going on. He was just so consistent and so reliable. He was almost like comparable to Meltzer in how much stuff he did. He was just, right up until this week, it came out of nowhere really. And there was several reviews up for this week's wrestling on 411 Mania. So that's a really sad one as well. Yeah.
And Ross?
When I was at uni getting back into wrestling, he was my go-to sort of place for objective reviews. As you said, he could, when he didn't like something, he told you about it. But by and large, it was always just straight down the middle. Here's what happened, an informed opinion. Just a good writer, wasn't he?
Mm. He was. He sadly missed. Drew Gulak has gone from WWE. He declined to re-sign. And this was the day after SmackDown, which we'll get to. I know you're excited for that. And yeah, he's no longer with WWE. It sounds mutually accepting.
Apparently it's not dead though or something, isn't it?
Oh, what? He's still going to be there?
No. Apparently he's gone, but apparently he might be going back or something. It was something to do with the money on the table wasn't what he wanted or something. And so maybe they're going to revisit it. I've got no idea. Right. I think he'd be there on Saturday night personally.
Yeah, by the time we've said this, everyone will be watch this podcast and on Friday, who is the mastermind? It's Drew Gulak, and will again be one day behind the rest of the world.
I don't think he will. I think we're safe in this one because apparently, I remember Cody didn't like him.
Why?
Because he was doing like a grizzled veteran gimmick on the indies and Cody said he was a bit of a knob about it.
Oh.
I don't know though.
He said Zelda sucks.
It came across like a bit of a weird reason to not like someone. Like the story goes that they were doing merch at an Evolve show, and it was Gargano's last show. So they had pizza out for the fans to like have a bit of as part of this celebration of like Gargano's leaving. What a great guy! And apparently Gulak, who Cody already didn't like because of his gimmick, came over and said something jokingly like, oh, you've got pizza on your merch table, so that's what you need to get over. Or something really harmless like that, but Cody was like, don't like you. So I don't know if it's just Cody being Cody because he's quite weird and sarcastic sometimes. I really don't know. Don't understand.
It's like The Last Dance for wrestling.
Yeah. What a documentary that was, Matthew.
Is that what you meant? Have that pizza? I knew what that meant.
It was personal. Dance.
Maybe Cody just made it up inside of his head that Drew Gulak was a knob to him.
Have you been watching it as well?
I've got two episodes to go, but I have been catching up.
Oh, it's so bizarre. It's so good.
It's great, but I didn't realise how much focus Michael Jordan had on it getting made. Because obviously Michael Jordan's not out there doing, you know, cameos. So they needed... Michael Jordan only did it because... he had final say in it. And obviously it makes sense. It'll be based like 75% on him because he's one of the greatest basketball players of all time. But there's all these other players going, hang on, yeah, Michael Jordan did that, but you didn't have my response while I told him to go F himself.
I really like Scottie Pippen. He's such a chilled out guy. He's so chilled. Really right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
back to the miserable world of wrestling this week. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports the reason Bobby Roode and the Singh brothers have not been on WTV in the last couple of months is because they are stuck in Canada. Obviously, there's still travel restrictions in place, keeping those from other countries from entering the United States. And AEW is facing the same with the Dark Order's Stu Grayson and Evil Uno. That's probably where I've had the likes of 10 appearing on AEW Dynamite. And related to that... go on.
Is this why Sami Zayn's been... Is he... But I'm guessing he lives in Canada, does he?
Apparently, yeah, but that was also... his teeth out.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
We had the title taken off him. Apparently, Vince has promised people their place in the card won't be fault or anything like that, but apparently Sammy had his wisdom teeth taken out recently, so he couldn't wrestle anyway. I don't know what's true. That was just something I read on the internet.
No, Vince said, Sammy, can you make it? And he went, mm-hmm. Sorry.
Have you had your mouth numbed?
No. I have had that, yes. I had
fantastic.
Back teeth.
Molars.
Yeah, there we go. Molars taken out when I was a kid, because my way of brushing teeth used to be get some toothpaste, do the bottom bit, then wash the toothbrush with nothing on it, and then do the top bit. And so naturally, my teeth had issues and I had to have them taken out. And I was really worried because my mum described the process as, it's all right, you'll be asleep, so you won't notice the guy taking your teeth out. I go, I'm pretty bloody sure I'd know someone was taking my teeth out when I was asleep. And it was, so I was like, all right, can't come back at some 10. 10, it's going to be so bad this. 9, I'll go, you know.
Did you get put to sleep?
Yeah.
You're lucky, boss.
Yours when you were just local?
I had one more tooth on the top rung than I should have had, so I needed one taken out to let another one come down. I was not put asleep. I was just like injected all around the mouth. So I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I haven't recovered since, some might say. And I just yanked it out while I was still awake. I was like, oh!
And it's a dumb question, but I have to ask, did you feel anything?
A little bit. I don't know what it would be, the feel, like comparative to, I've got no idea. I did feel it though. Not as much as I would have if I wasn't numb, though. But then my mum, the cruel woman, took me for fish and chips afterwards. It's like a present for doing so well. And I was sat there with my fish and chips going like, can't get in my mouth properly. She knew what she was doing.
What about you, Jack? You had any teeth?
Have I had any teeth?
Yeah, just in general.
Yeah, 32, I think. Yeah. Oh. I've never had any... anything taken out, but I have got a filling that I've had twice, and it just keeps on messing up because it keeps falling out because it doesn't go in properly. Half my tooth, I fell over once when I was drunk, and then a week later I bit into a pizza and it just half my tooth came out, and it's never been filled properly. The filling always keeps falling out, so it doesn't hurt. I should probably get that sorted. Actually,
I have those dreams all the time where your teeth get knocked out. It
wasn't nice knowing that your tooth's just fallen out. It was nasty, surprisingly. Yeah, weird.
And you meet at school, and I wish I knew his name to name drop it, but he had like Kevin Dunn teeth, proper like bad. And he came into school one day, and they'd been fixed. I mean, I went, "Oh, that's nice. Did your parents get the done?" It was no. I fell over at Beavers, and my teeth just snapped in half. Like, bloody hell! I was like, "No, it's great. They're normal now." Complete perfect snap. You could anyway.
Wow.
And finally, in a little tidbit that I'm sure we were all thinking about, at Money in the Bank, there was a spot where Dana Brooks slipped on water, wah wah wah, and some janitor going, "Whoa, sorry." That janitor was Bruce Pritchard's son.
Was right. It? Do you know his name? Merch on. Kane, isn't it?
Yes. Kane Pritchard. Who's he named after, that famous MMA guy? No. That Kane, off the telly, off the wrestling.
That's a strong name.
It's what Ross is going to call his firstborn, yeah.
It's got evil connotations for me. Kane Dingle, innit, off Emmerdale.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, aye.
Is he evil? He looks evil. I don't watch too much Emmerdale, to be honest with you.
Speaking of the Dingles, because obviously...
Oh, good, I'm loving where this is going.
one of our editors, Andrew, is from that neck of the woods. He's from, like... Yorkshire countryside. He's shaved his head the other day, and it looks good. Suits it.
Nah.
Do you know? Have you not seen?
No, I've seen it. I'm just saying no because I don't like it.
Do you not like it? I think it looks good.
I'm doing the opposite. I'm growing my hair out, but obviously I'm very proud of the fact that it looks like crap because I'm wearing my Space Jam hat. So I don't know why I'm mocking someone for, he shouldn't have shaved his head. He should look like a mess like me.
Mine's
so I think I've got no dog in this fight. So stop talking.
Mine's too long. Like, I look like me in the 2000s.
I'm going full afro, me. I'm never going to cut my hair again.
What? Good. You just go out? Yours grows outwards, doesn't it?
Oh, it's starting to go out now. Yeah. No, going back now. Is it July? I got a Facebook ad from a barber's. Not one I go to, just one of, like a sponsored ad. July the 4th, they're taking bookings for. It's in Gateshead.
Wow.
So I don't know what they know that we haven't been told, but July the 4th, apparently, you can go back to your barber's maybe, if that advert was true.
I'm gonna have to do the back and sides myself at this rate. I think it's getting too ridiculous.
The way it's growing now, I'm gonna need two hats. Well, we've certainly brightened up that new section. Don't worry, there's more misery to come. But let's move on to the Hall of Fame.
Everybody get excited for the Cultaholic Hall of Fame.
And now it's time for everyone's favourite segment, the Hall of Fame. See, I wasn't lying. In condescending order from last week, the great state of Wyoming, 27%. And that solid percent was also the length in minutes of how long it took Jack to big up the state of Wyoming. Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins, the happy couple, 27%. Oh, get in. But clear favourite, the late, great Tony Bridgman, the man who no-sold three nearly fatal things at once and was a proud listener of this podcast. Thank you very much for voting there. I'm sure the people he knows will be happy with that. I'll message them because I'm sure if they still listen to the podcast or not. But that wasn't the point. Like I said, we celebrate lives rather than people about death. I'm very happy that people thank for that. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's my turn this week, isn't it? Oh, go on.
Can't really complain about that one. Normally I'm like, but this week, you know, it's probably
the
right result.
I've got more faith in our Patreon backers. Well done.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I'll keep it up, because I can't be, you know, too sad every week because there's a lot of sadness in the world at the minute. So I'm going to go with something happier. Sod it. Michael Jordan.
Oh, good.
Not quite because, yes, he's the greatest basketball player of all time or anything like that, but just the way we told it, the intro there in the news section, just every story is like, hey, MJ, how you doing? You're looking good. Oh, I'm looking good, am I?
What do you mean, looking good?
You said that to my wife, even though you didn't really do it. I'm going to knock you.
And it cuts to people just saying, like, they may have spent 10 minutes saying, God, MJ used to rag us badly, he used to drive us nuts, he used to say everything, but he was a good guy. And they'll just take that bit where he goes, he was a good guy, and that's it. Just to find out what word do you use it? A JBL type he was. And then you watch his Netflix documentary and it's all like, MJ was so nice, so great. And he's just like, okay, let's see what this guy said about me. MJ was a real
Oh, that yeah, guy. Some of the bits where he's watching the iPad are some of the best bits. Yeah, it's so good.
MJ wasn't very nice to me one time.
Yeah.
So
he gets so, like the Kill Bill, like the...
He's there and you can see him thinking like, have I got one more game left in me?
Yeah.
Do I still have that guy's address? Does he have a basketball hoop in his back garden? So yeah, The Last Dance, so great. Michael Jordan, he's the highlight of it for the right and wrong reasons. And I'm hoping, some people suggested, that they do another bonus episode like they did with Tiger King, where it's just the uncut interview with Michael Jordan. It's just that, no edits, just a long cut, and I'd watch every second of it. So that's my pick. The great Michael Jordan, bleary eyes and all. Let's go with Jack next.
Tony Hawk's coming back soon, isn't it? The gaming franchise. Not the man. He's still about. But I got realizing, and I put out a tweet to see what the response would be as well, that who you picked in those Tony Hawk's games really said a lot about you as a person, but I can't quite work out what it says. But I've nominated my pick from the Tony Hawk games, and that is Bob Burnquist. Oh. Lovely man. Very good. Nice glasses sometimes he wore as well.
That's a good pick. Because I would also pick Bob, so that's why I'm agreeing with you.
Bob
I'll have
Burnquist
to sign the
well?
Patreon to vote for this. Yes. His
Ross,
name was Bob. I'm partial people call Bob.
I never really played Tony Hawk's, to be honest with you.
Oh.
I was outside playing games. Not sitting on my arse. I do that now instead of my...
because that was quite a short... Ross sent me a response from the one person who lives in Wyoming with some Wyoming facts that I'm going to read out now.
Yeah, this was an email we got in the mailbag this week. It's fascinating stuff. It really is, Matthew.
Go ahead. I'm really eager to hear.
Right. So there was quite a lot of responses about Wyoming, but this was one of the only ones from someone actually from Wyoming. So it's from Tommy Zulsdorf. Is that a joke name or is that a real one? Oh, I see what you've done there. Good. Did you pre-prepare this?
I did, yes. I knew this would come up.
right? He's put, yes, Wyoming is real, and it's quite lovely. We are known as the Equality State because we give women the right to vote before we were a state and still just a territory. So that's good stuff. Skipping ahead a little bit. Many movies have been filmed here, including The Hateful Eight. Also, the main characters from Ready to Rumble are from Wyoming. We have a lot of agriculture, but also mining. Not just coal, but uranium. Goes on. Bischoff lives here. Harrison Ford does. And even Kim Kardashian and Kanye West recently bought a ranch here. We have about 500,000 people in the entire state, and you can fit all of Great Britain into it. There are more cows than people. So thanks, Tommy, for that. It's good.
I love one of the fun facts of Wyoming was, yes, it exists. Yeah. Nice to see Dr. Luther make an appearance there in Ross's room. And so that was it. Before we go into Ross's thing, a quick thing, though. What's the song that you associate with Tony Hawk's?
Superman by Goldfinger.
That's good, yeah. Mine's Power Man 5000.
Which one's that?
When Those Collide. Their only song. Because Tony Hawk's 2 was my first one.
I'll need to hear it, but then I'm sure I'll...
When Worlds Collide, you must remember that.
Yeah, I must do.
Collide. Oh, wasn't you're ready to go now. You're ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do too much or we'll get copyrighted straight.
What was the... there was a Millencolin one as well. Oh, I can't remember. Something good.
They only had one song, didn't they?
Was NoFX on there as well? The Separation of Church and State?
Probably. Wasn't a huge NoFX fan.
Was Less
Papa
Than Jake
Roach
on
had Blood Brothers.
Was Less Than Jake? Did they have? They must have had songs on there as well. Anyway, mine's Goldfinger. Superman.
Yeah, you know what? This hasn't gone the way I expected it. Ross, what's your pick for Hall of Fame?
I was going to go for Shad.
Oh well, yeah.
Is that?
That's fair enough.
It seems like a nice time to do it.
Well, then don't vote for ours, then.
Sorry, Michael Jordan.
And Bob Burnquist.
Yeah, I don't know if this is against the spirit of the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast Hall of Fame or not, but, you know.
You're right, though, Ross. I mean, it's nice to have a wrestler that, again, it's been a huge outpouring of support for him. It's a hell of a pick. I'm sure a lot of people have nothing but positive memories of Shad. It's just odd with Hall of Fame where it's like, yeah, the step into the silly closet that is Cultaholic. And I was like, oh, his reality to...
I was shocked that neither of you two went for him.
Well, I don't know. I feel bad now.
No, don't guilt me.
What?
But Shad, that is a great reason. Any other positive things you want to say about Shad before we move on?
No. We covered it at the start, didn't we?
Yeah, good times. Great man.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? I'm trying to
I've ruined this segment, haven't I?
Well, those are three good picks. One is winning.
Should we make Shad an honorary member?
Yeah, let's do that.
That's a beautiful... there we go. From downtown, Ross. Yes, there we go.
Now I've got to think of one now.
Shad Gaspard wins Hall of Fame because we've all voted for him. What's the non-Shad pick? There we go.
Off the top of my head, Matthew, the first thing I'm thinking of is Martha Hart after Dark Side
of
the Ring.
That's
the
one I was going to get to that on the TV
section.
Again,
it might be not in the spirit of the Hall of Fame that we're doing here, but that's the first thing that's coming to my head, so that's what I'm going to say. Martha Hart.
This shows what a depressing week it's been for wrestling when we're having a go. No, wait, which sad news or wrestling-related thing can we put in this week? Martha Hart's a great pick, though, because she... We'll just get better then. Her image has done a complete 180 from what WWE's been presenting for years, which is evil Martha doesn't want Owens... You know, Owen in the Hall of Fame. Doesn't want a DVD put out that's all Owen, you know, because evil Martha just hates WWE and wrestling and wants to control everything about Owen. And then you watch the documentary, it's like, no, I don't want his image to be remembered, exploited by the company who was partly responsible for killing him.
Yeah, makes sense.
Like, well, when you put it like that, Martha, that makes complete sense. And now she goes from country to country with a foundation helping kids. Yep. Sorry for
you've took all the words out of my mouth. Because I sat on one video we did, I remember saying, Mark Henry said it, I'm going to repeat what Mark Henry said at the Hall of Fame. Let's get Owen at the WWE Hall of Fame. But now you sit back and watch her there and you think, oh, yeah, she's probably right for doing that, isn't she? So Martha Hart, and she's raised two impressive kids. Bloody hell, what an impressive man Owen Hart's son is.
Yeah. Very well spoken, fellow.
And do you know how hard it is to raise two normal kids with a surname Hart? Just saying. Well, there we go. We've brought that back from the jaws of defeat. Well done, Ross.
Sorry.
The choices are Michael Jordan, the bleary-eyed superstar, Bob Burnquist, Mr. Ollie. I don't know what his nickname is.
Okay, yeah, why not?
Whatever. And Martha Hart. Not as bad as we thought she was. Three amazing picks. Yes, that's right, you heard me. Amazing picks for the Cultaholic Hall of Fame. And you can vote for them by going to patreon.com/cultaholic and giving us your money and voting.
I'll come back with silly bollocks next week, don't worry.
This week in the wrestling. It's this bloody week in the wrestling.
Now, the week of wrestling sadly starts with SmackDown. Bugger.
Poor SmackDown, man.
Otis start the show with Miz and Morrison. And I enjoyed this segment, by the way, because Morrison and Miz keep on trying to make fun of him. But Otis is the most likable guy they've had in years, so none of it worked. So Morrison was going, "Hey, Otis, did your learning disability prevent you from putting on clothes?" And then Otis goes, "Hey, Johnny, if you got it, you might as well flaunt it." I'm like, yeah, get him.
I expected better from a former five-star wrestling champion, to be honest with you.
Your thoughts there, Jack? You were shaking your head.
I just didn't like it. Thought it was a bit... Ugh. They've got something in Otis, and without taking away the fun and comedic aspects of him, I'm worried that they're going to just turn him into a bit of a laughing stock because of all the previous times they've done it throughout their history. But I don't know.
It's a good point. We'll see what happens with that later on the show as they have they issue a challenge to Otis and a mystery partner. Elias is back. Something I think we all missed during the craziness of Money in the Bank. You know, Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black coming back. IC title tournament. Have I just actually missed this? Yes, I've missed the exciting match that Elias and Baron Corbin had that I think was longer than Jack talking about Wyoming. And so Elias beats Corbin because Corbin touches guitar. And then Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak have a great amateur style match, which Bryan wins. And that's Gulak's maybe swan song. We'll see. As the Black and Ray's proven, no one stays dead in this company.
Bryan's training partner, as he was called.
Yeah, on Twitter the next day, wasn't it? They wouldn't name him by name.
Yeah,
Daniel Bryan had a great match with his former training partner.
Daniel Bryan's Scottie Pippen. Actually, that little tournament revealed that it's now multi-brand. And they said something like, 4 times a year we can. And I'm like, whatever, you're just going to do what you like. It's fine.
I don't understand why they need to do this. Just say we're in the midst of this pandemic for the time being. We're just going to open up the rosters. Anyone can appear on any show. When everything's back to normal, exclusive rosters come back. Because you know they're not going to stick to this 4 times a year malarkey. Then we're going to have to sit there and go, they haven't done it again. Just keep it simple, idiots.
Vince loves little rules, doesn't he? Like, do you remember that weird period where he decided that the matches all had to be restarted before the ad break? Whatever it was. That was
no
so weird.
No wrestling during commercials, yeah.
That was so weird looking back. So strange.
Well, the reason why they do it like that, Ross, is because it's there is literally that dog in the room that's on fire going, it's fine. Everything's fine. We're just choosing to have these shows in this one place with no fans. It's fine. It's an artistic decision. And what have we got here? So SmackDown gets AJ Styles for the IC title tournament next week, and Monday Night Raw gets Baron Corbin. It's like trading Andy Cole for Keith Gillespie.
There you know.
Thought you'd like that. Anyway, Corbin dominates Elias. I've already done that bit. And it's very odd in these shows hearing Michael Cole say, well, WWE partners up with the King of Fighters for smartphones and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the hell? I literally can't think of any other video game where WWE wrestlers have guest starred in them officially.
I'm waiting for the Raid Shadow Legends shout out on SmackDown, WWE TV, like that.
Yeah.
Has anyone
as annoying as that is Charlotte is here. Sorry, I had to talk over that because I thought it was a good segue, but you can carry on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's like the... does anyone ever actually played Raid Shadow Legends? But I don't know. But no, Charlotte, yeah. Everyone wants to see more of Charlotte, according to Charlotte.
She's looked at the statistics.
Oh, fair enough.
She clearly hasn't.
Maybe she is a ratings draw, I don't know.
Has NXT gone up drastically since she started appearing on it? I don't know. I've not looked at the stats either.
I don't know.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, Charlotte's here and asks if Sasha is happy being Bayley's lackey. She says, well, it's better than being Naomi, who lost in a minute to Dana Brooke, and everyone agrees, and they're no longer enemies. That's what I typed, so you know what happened.
We're getting Team Bad back, I hope.
You hope?
That makes sense.
I hope. Everyone loved a bit of unity! We're all here for that kind of content, aren't we? Aren't we, Matthew?
Yeah.
Yes.
Naomi's going to snap in a couple of weeks' time when Barry Horowitz beats her.
she loses to Kane Pritchard.
I was wondering, because he had Bruce Pritchard something to wrestle with merch on, that fella. And I was wondering, why is that on there? But now it all makes sense. Wow. It's come full circle.
Good times. Otis found a tag partner in the form of Braun. And the two lads with bods like dads put away Miz and Morrison. And we got the sight of double caterpillars. And everything's okay. Yeah, right. Until Mandy comes out to stand by his man, stand by her man, even. And Otis teases cashing in until Braun turns around and he tells him he's just kidding. I've just typed
just a joke.
I've typed the cat letters, D it, Otis.
Just a joke, Daddy.
Yeah, I think my standards for SmackDown are very low. My expectations for SmackDown are very low. I found myself very entertained by Otis.
Nah, he's entertaining, man.
I was enjoying Otis's dance to Mandy's theme tune as he crept behind Braun. That was a good little moment. I'm worried he's not going to... I can't see him cashing in successfully on whoever. I don't think it's going to happen for him, and I'm sad.
It wasn't a promising first step. Like,
no.
We need to do more... It's when he snapped just before WrestleMania. Need to do that a few more times and like per show just to balance out the silly bollocks with like, oh, this guy can actually like rip your heat off if he wants to.
Well, do the Finn Balor thing where he's got to lose the first match and he comes back as the Demon Otis.
Just fully naked.
The guy just goes, you know what, take the title.
Goose fat everywhere.
Monday Night Raw. Edge accepts
the best match ever. The best match ever. 10 stars.
So last week, and loyal viewers will know this, you were talking about, so this, what do you think at the very end of the show? And I went, I don't know, I was bored by the end of it. And you went, well, Charlie Caruso described, if Orton takes on Edge, it could be the greatest rest of the match ever. And I was almost like, it's pretty bad to end an episode of Monday Night Raw. Well, don't worry, I missed it that week, so they made up for it by doing it 3 more times this episode. It's officially the tagline of the match.
It's that graphic. Before the match has even happened, the greatest wrestling match ever.
It's why people go, why are there so many people who kiss AEW's ass? Not perfect. It's because AEW, for all its faults, it seems a lot more natural, and they don't have the commentators going, well, yes, I'm Tom Phillips, and this could very well be the greatest wrestling match ever. WWE.
What happens? Because only two things can happen, right? It's all right. It's pretty good. In which case, everyone will go, well, that wasn't the best match ever. Or it'll be, like, worse than people are expecting. And then it'll be even worse. I don't know what the thinking is here.
I reckon Edge and Randy Orton are starting off on a music career. This is not the greatest match ever. No, no. It's just a tribute.
Couldn't remember the greatest wrestling match ever.
No. It's just a tribute.
Sorry.
I've got no idea what any of it means. Surely, I'm thinking just because, you know, it's wrestling, everyone loves a good old Ribbington, don't they? Charlie must have went off the script there or something. They can't be setting off in this direction. Do you reckon? And then they're just doubling down on the joke or something just at Charlie's expense. I've got no idea what's going on here.
Actually, you know, Ross, that's a really good point. If they go, that's right. If Carlsberg did wrestling matches, then it'd be the greatest wrestling match of all time. And they build it up dramatically. The bell rings and he just gives them an RKO. If that's the payoff, then that's fine. Okay, that's fine. But if they have a proper normal match and we get more of Edge going like that and everything to make it look super serious, then, yeah, I've no idea. What are we going to say,
it might be done, like, not live. So you could, like... have them do things they wouldn't normally do in a live wrestling match, like with CGI and stuff like that, green screen. I was speaking the other day about having Edge like hung up on some strings on the ceiling so you can do 630s and stuff like that. Then you're getting the greatest match ever. All kinds of fun of the fair.
So it's Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Like, wow, what a 1080 splash. Oh, I kicked out.
Was it not you, Ross, who said that someone said it this week, that it's like a jab at Tony Khan for what he said about the Jack Swagger John Moxley match?
I think someone, it wasn't me, I think someone shared it on the our chat in the office here. I'm not too sure.
Who was it? Because Tony Khan obviously was saying, like, well, when you see it, you'll realise that Hager versus Moxley is the best MD Arena match ever. And then it was all right. Well, some people didn't even like it at all. So I don't know.
But wasn't that half a joke? The greatest... There's been three or so.
Oh, was he joking?
Maybe. Well, that statement, the greatest MD Arena match ever. I mean...
This jive from WWE Shut up, Ross. I'm going home.
Sure showed them.
Sure, yeah. Tony Khan, stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah. Another highlight of the show, Buddy Murphy's new gear with the stained glass sleeves.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice. Yeah, he then beat Humberto because it's Monday and Humberto has to lose. And I've put here on the highlights of Raw, Rodman missing practice during the playoffs to hang out with the NWO on the and Hogan going, hey, this is worth missing practice for, am I right? So good. Austin Theory sucks. So Zelina Vega removed them from the Andrade Association. So he's just milling around ringside like a lost puppy, like Courage the Cowardly Dog. And Seth decided, hey, that's a white flippy indie guy. I love them, me. And he thought, you know what? Come in. I'll give you a can of soup. And now he's joined them as well. And Rollins, Buddy Murphy was thrilled, wasn't he, Jack?
Rollins is getting running around like Ash Ketchum. Just catching them all his favourite indie lads. I can't think who's going to be next. What are the criteria? You've got to be a white flippy dude.
Yeah.
Well, there's hardly any of them in wrestling, I don't know.
Well, no, Seth's got them all.
Yeah.
He basically wants the glory days of NXT. He's seen what the white flippy dudes have done to the Undisputed Era, and he wants that for himself. And there's a lot more interest in talking about the main event, which saw Drew McIntyre defeat King Corbin, woohoo. And as people have been comparing Drew McIntyre to Diesel, so I thought it was very unfortunate that it would hype up this match against the second worst king of all time, which of course, Mabel.
Where's the comparison there, apart from the beard and the hair? Is that as far as it goes, or am I missing something?
Handsome. I think it's just because he's a champion during a really bad period.
Ah.
There's not much going on right now, so. But I think it's a fair comparison, I've just seen a lot of it online.
It's weird that WWE would hype up King Corbin in the main event and then draw the second lowest rating ever in the history of Raw? Something like that?
It was the second greatest worst rating in Empty Arena, whatever. Kairi Sane led a celebration for Asuka and plays recorder.
Yes.
Interrupted by Nia Jax. Nia belittles Asuka's title win, so Asuka knocks her out of the ring. Fair enough, though, and apparently the recorder was injured.
We'll get on to that at the next show.
Yeah. And then Shayna Baszler beats Natalya. So Natalya trashes the set of the Kevin Owens show. Oh, yes. Owens is back. He invites Vega Stable to the ring. And we've already done this bit because I didn't think it was that interesting to sum up. But we do have one interesting thing on Raw, which actually this week lost to SmackDown in terms of the interestometer, which was Bobby Lashley just milling around backstage and MVP coming to him and going, you know, you used to be really good. You should probably challenge somebody for a title. And Lashley going, yeah, thanks, mate. I needed that self-esteem boost. I appreciate it.
That's nice. Fair
enough. I love Lana's reaction, me. Like, Bobby, was it R-Truth he beat? It's been so long. Yeah, it was R-Truth he beat in the singles match, wasn't it, Bobby? So MVP's out there, give him a round of applause on the stage. And Lana's losing her bananas backstage as if she's just found out that literally MVP has been cheating. Well, Bobby's been cheating on her with MVP in a not just, you know, managerial way, in a sexual way. I like the overreaction, me.
I do like Lana. She has two settings, mad and Russian.
I've just noticed that. So, you know what? Remember when Lana, just the mention of Lana has reminded me. You remember when Lana turned face and left Rusev for Ziggler, and then she started coming out dressed like the all-American girl with like the denim and the big hair and the white top. That's what Mandy Rose kind of looks like on SmackDown now, babyface Mandy Rose. Has Vince just got an idea in his mind of what a baby, what this is, babyface woman, and that's what they all should look like?
Yeah, he's like Alfred Hitchcock.
Right, okay. I don't get it. I'm not going
to. That was a very... Yeah, sorry. That's what the kids want to hear about, Matthew. Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah, I'll just say yes. I'm going to move on to the Owen Hart episode of Vice, which was the highest rated episode of the Dark Side of the Ring series. I already said a bunch about Martha. So, Jack, do you have any thoughts on this?
It was hard watch. It really... I mean, a lot of the episodes have been. But... the thing that really got me was the shot of the fall from the top, because I've never seen that before, and it was really harrowing seeing like the ring far below, and it doesn't even show how far it actually was. He fell like 23 meters or something. It was a really hard watch, but it was interesting. It was good, and obviously Martha Hart showing the carabiner that was meant to hold him, and the quick release and everything. Oh, my God.
That was the most shocking bit for me.
Yeah,
Was it definitely 6 pounds of pressure or something like that on clips?
Yeah.
The fact that she still had it.
Mm. Well, yeah, she got all the evidence, didn't she? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I know she needs it for evidence, but it's like, oh, yeah, I've still got it. I'm like, great, now.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you, Ross?
My Biden memory was Cornette making me cry, which is weird.
Oh, when he comes home.
Oof, yeah. When he started going, I welled up, and it's like, oh, Jim Cornette, all the things he's saying these days, and he's able to make you cry. Yeah, it was just a hard watch. Yeah, I don't know what you say about it. It's weird. If you haven't seen it, just go and watch it,
yeah. AEW, just slightly happier this week. Moxley beats 10, the cult member, and then threatens to break his arm until Brody comes to the ring and gives him back his title, which he's twocked. And Brody goes, nah, you're all right. Gives him the Walder Frey responsive, I'll get another. So Moxie breaks his arm and Brody Lee sods off. All right, there for the match on Saturday. And Anderson and Jake come face to face. And I was amazed by this. They never wrestled each other. And the only time they were in the ring together during a match was Royal Rumble 1989, which they were obviously both in the match, but they weren't in the ring at the same time. They've never wrestled or been in the ring properly until
I think
then, which...
I did a search out today, and they've been in two more battle royals outside of WWF, but I don't think they're in the ring at the same time in them either. It's an amazing stat, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
But do you want to see Arn Anderson versus Jake the Snake now? Because I do. But I also don't. But I also do. I do after that promo, but I don't want to... Yeah, obviously, you remember the two old fellas now, aren't you? You don't want to see those two going around the ring. But they were unbelievable in that promo, the pair of them were.
Absolutely. Can talk them into the seats. It's just a shame they don't have anything to follow up with right now. Jake says he wants to give Archer the first crack at Tyson. Yeah. And says he's glad Jake's been doing DDP yoga because he wants him to be real limber when he spine busts his ass.
What a line. What a line.
I thought the other good line he had, Jake talking to Arn's like, oh, not used to seeing you walking alone. Should get used to it.
Oh, nice. God. Arn was just... Arn blew me away in this thing. I know that Jake's like one of the all-time great promos, but here I was like, it's all about Arn. He was so good. I've not seen too many Arn promos. I saw one that Ross was sharing about once where he's talking about all of his tactically placed...
Oh, his little hat.
Yeah, with all of his tactically placed functional muscle. That's a really good one as well.
Yeah, I love me some Arn. Phoenix? Phoenix or Fenix?
Phoenix.
Fenix is on Northumberland Street.
That's because it's F-E-N-I-X. I go, oh, it's Fenix. So,
but Pac did introduce this, so it makes sense that you've said that.
Yeah. Ah.
Yeah. Do you think he calls him that?
I'll reach Fenix.
Fenix beats Orange Cassidy at distraction from Kip Sabian, who obviously has a giant ladder with him and takes it to ringside to hype
this
up
was very WWE.
Match.
This was very WWE.
I'm glad that was the end of it. Because he got pushed off and all the other participants joined in. And Excalibur did the, is this a preview of Saturday night's match? I'm like, do we have to do this? But then they all went, no, sod it, we don't need a ladder. We'll just do a bunch of dives outside. And that was good in theory. Yeah, so unrelated to this, Phoenix did a beautiful dive that I'm not even going to try and pronounce. No one caught him. You could, wait, I've got audio here. up comes Phoenix, and there you go. That was a noise he made when he landed when no one caught him. Apparently he's a bit banged up, but he'll be all right for the match. Bless him. Luckily, nothing else negative happened on the show. Let's go to the next bit. Britt Baker gets injured in a tag match against Nyla Rose when Nyla fell on her. The Diddlers win, but Statlander saves Sheeta from a beatdown, and Sheeta puts Nyla through a table, with Sheeta managing to break her head on the table as it landed.
Did you hit it? I thought you missed it.
Oh, it looked horrible on the replay. I thought it was like, okay, it's interesting to doing that. Maybe the Bill hype, but not, well, without them having to go at each other. And apparently, no, it was a real doctor doing a real thing, a real injury.
Mm. Yeah, when they do kind of like a double Death Valley driver on Nyla into Britt Baker in the corner. And straight away after that, she's like not selling it quite right. And
that knee was bent, wasn't it?
Right.
And then Nyla came down on top, yeah.
And then you see Statlander improvises like a cover on her, but then glares at Nyla Rose to be like, break up this pinfall right now. And it's just, it all kind of goes off the rails a little bit. But they did well to finish the match. I was just surprised at the finish because Sheeta got pinned and obviously she's the number one contender.
Yeah. But again, if there's been an injury in mid-match, it'll come some slack. Sean Spears, with the best thing he's done in months, he has the Sean Spears news update. And he says, oh, apparently Dustin Rhodes has decided to retire. Oh, it's a bitter pill for him to swallow, but swallowing pills has never been a problem for Dustin. Wow. All right, now they give him something to do. So apparently he's called out Dustin for a match. And the commentators are like, did Dustin retire or not? We're not sure. We'll have to find out. So, you know, who knows if that's going to happen or not. Probably will, though.
It is, isn't it? Confirmed, isn't it?
Yeah, they booked it straight after the promo.
But they said they didn't know if he was going to turn up or not.
But the graphic flashed up and everything, and JR was
it,
like...
It didn't it?
Oh, you're booked, kid. Let's just book it.
I love AEW. So more realistic compared to WWE. Matt Hardy beats Sammy Guevara and then rushes the Jaguar Stadium to save Omega, who's being ambushed by the Inner Circle. It ends with a big brawl with the Bucks and Page arriving to turn the tide. Positive here was Hangman Page making his return from the very, very back, going, meow, and then running and doing the clothesline like Muta at the Tokyo Dome. And that was nice. The Bucks decided to jump off, I guess it's the bleachers, onto the hard-ass grass, and it was either Nick or Matt, who knows which one's which.
Matt, I think.
Yeah, wasn't caught very well, and just went, wait, hang on, is the noise of him landing? And hurt his ribs doing it.
Is he all right for the match, do we know?
I don't know. What a brutal episode of AEW Dynamite this was.
Do you remember the old EWR game?
Yes.
Do you remember the one of those nights effect that would happen sometimes where just everything would kind of go a bit wrong?
Right. Like when you're playing SimCity or Civilization, you get one of those natural disasters like, oh, yeah. That's a nice, oh no, an earthquake just destroyed all your hard work. Oh, yeah.
I still think the show was well thought out. Like, it was a good go-home show. All the matches got hyped, but it was just, yeah, people were just getting injured.
Yeah. Brutal, hey. Card subject to change. NXT, that other show that's on Wednesdays. Karrion Kross beats a jobber, and then Ciampa announces that they'll be facing each other at TakeOver. That's it. Phantasma beats Tozawa to win his Cruiserweight tournament block, but no one cares about that. Drake Maverick beats Kushida, which I think some people were half expecting anyway, but the important thing is, Jack, are you still giving a damn about this?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yes, because I was disagreeing with Pacitti. I've done a right Sam Driver, I have. Sam was proclaiming to the high heavens around the time that Moxley left WWE that it was a work and that he'd be back. And still hasn't eaten the hat that he said he was going to eat if Moxley turned up at AEW. I've done the same. I was maintaining that Drake Maverick would not win this tournament. And even though he hasn't quite yet, I'm a bit worried that he's going to, because he's just beaten the WCPW Pro Wrestling World Cup winner, 2017.
Yeah. Roderick Strong beats Dexter Lumis.
Wait, oh, sorry, there's one more. I think that Jake Atlas might turn heel on Spud.
On Drake.
Yeah, because he's been at ringside cheering him, like cheering him.
Go on.
Supporting him.
Yay.
Cheering him on. And I think it's just a bit too nice of him, but I don't know.
Yeah, interesting to see. Yeah, Roddy Strong beats Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis, you're a bit confused with Karrion Kross. He's the other guy who's big and stares a lot and has tattoos and has a scary entrance. Two completely different characters. The Undisputed Era tries to beat him.
One's a human snake.
One's a heel. One's a babyface.
Oh, yeah, there we go. They're completely different.
One's a devil. One's a snake.
One's got hair.
I'm just saying, WWE, when it comes to character types, there's three of them.
One's got a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, there we go. They're completely different. Sorry, Dexter Lumis, who you press right C when you're selecting Karrion Kross. Anyway, the Undisputed Era tried to beat him down, but luckily for us, Velveteen Dream is here to save Lumis and do a weird elbow drop, which was gift on Twitter, and someone pointed out, this looks like it's shot by the same team that did Power Rangers.
But was that not live? Was that put in? I haven't seen the gif in
person. I hope it wasn't live, because it looked edited.
It was definitely edited. It's got to have been.
What was it like? What happened?
He jumps off the top rope and he flies over the barricade to where Cole is on the floor. And then just as he's landed, it changes to a shot. So like Cole's here and the camera's about there. And he sort of lands. It's literally out of Power Rangers. It was the perfect comparison.
Right. Cheap and nasty. And it's weird though. Velveteen Dream's here. He's still getting a push. I swear it was only 3 or 4 weeks ago we all heard his voicemail ring up lasses and ask them what school they go to.
It was lads, but
we didn't talk about it, and then nothing happened.
Well,
and he's back on NXT, because I thought, all right, we'll do the damn call match because the hype ran out up. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, and now we're back to this, and he's still on TV, and nothing happened.
I don't know what's happening in the investigation. Don't want to comment on it either way, because I'm not stupid.
Yeah. What investigation? Is there one?
I don't know. I don't want to comment on it either way, because I'm not stupid.
Okay.
Because if I say something and then the other thing is true, then it's not a great look, is it?
Oh, well, I know about great looks. Io Shirai beat Rhea Ripley, but only via DQ. And Charlotte, yay, runs in and attacks her. She takes out Rhea as well and stands tall. A bit awkward there because Rhea apparently has to stay in Australia for a bit. Oh, no, she's in Australia now, but she has to wait to get her visa back. So that means all Charlotte and no Rhea.
All Charlotte, that sounds like a saying, no Rhea.
Some 41 presents all Charlotte, no Rhea. So, weird episode of NXT. Any thoughts there, Ross? You want to add to anything?
No, not really, no. I've only seen the highlights on YouTube, so I haven't got a good feel of this week's episode. Cool. Jack?
It was an alright episode, but NXT recently has really started to slow down, in my opinion, and it's a shame, because over the past few years, they've been absolutely phenomenal.
Let's have a rummage in our mail bags.
And now it's time to have a look in the little mailbag. Number one. Hello, chaps. Hope all is well in these uncertain times. Thank you for still doing an amazing job keeping our minds distracted from the horrors outside our doors. Bloody hell. Anyhow, I was watching Ric Flair versus Mr. Perfect from Raw on the 25th of January, 1993, when Bobby Heenan says, "Doesn't he have a little thing going to the side? Does he, Vince?" What? As Flair was making his entrance, knowing that we know about Flair's ding-a-ling, I find this quote really funny, and especially as this was the early clean-cut 90s era. Anyway, my question is, have there been any insider commentary lines over the years that have grabbed your attention or one you found funny? Many thanks, Ryan Cresswell from Lincoln. Thank you, Ryan. I'm not quite sure what he means by that. Doesn't he have a little thing going to the side?
Well, Matthew, Missy Hyatt told the world that Ric Flair has a penis that bends to the left.
Oh, I get it now.
Thank you. I thought he meant like it was swinging in the wind during his entrance. I'm like, I've seen that match before. I thought I remembered that. What a great commentary line. And here we see Ric Flair. Oh, all of them.
So it's got to be commentary lines that are like
an inside joke,
right? Okay.
And you get them because you're on the inside.
Yeah. I don't have any personally. I just remember when JBL fell over. One of the times he fell over. Then on a subsequent episode of 205 Live, Trip Bradshaw turned up. Not a commentary one, I know, but there you go.
I like that one. I think it was the same era as Tom Phillips' quote. That I can't remember the exact one. I remember the image of him looking at the camera like that being shared, and it was a nice, sexy message to some lass that wasn't somebody he was with, and everyone was on Twitter talking about it. Nothing came of it, but then Graves and Phillips did commentary on episode of 205 Live, I think, so a lot of people didn't see or hear it, and Corey just started quoting it, and him and Tom just there's no audio, and because it's just them trying not to laugh. Yeah.
Tom Phillips was like the Angus Deaton of the situation.
Yeah. Beautiful comparison, Jack. Love that one.
That was for you. I thought you'd enjoy Have I Got News For You.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's it. Any other insider ones? Or a little nudge, do you get it?
Are PWG too blatant with it? Because their commentary cracks me up. It's really funny, though, on occasion. The best one, obviously, being... El Generico is a big boy. I just find that really funny. It's not so much an insider joke as just Kevin Owens absolutely howling because of Excalibur. Was it Excalibur who says it? It sounds like an Excalibur thing.
Yeah, El Generico does the tope of the ropes. He goes, El Generico is a big boy. And then just next 2 minutes of Kevin Owens laughing.
Take that, you big boy.
Speaking of Kevin Owens, did you see the clip someone clipped? Because if anyone hasn't seen the Kevin Steen show that was on High Spots before he got hired by WWE, got to check that out. Amazing, just great chemistry with every wrestler he talks to. He's talking to Jimmy Jacobs and talked about how he had his wrestling figures as a kid in the garage and he was booking them.
Yes.
He's booking the characters for the storylines, which, you know, I mean, I did as well. And he wanted to do Steve Austin's entrance with the action figure. And he, well, yeah, how does Austin's theme music start? So with the, you know, the glass shattering. He didn't have a glass. So instead, he had a cup like this, and he was in the garage, and he just decided that he would just throw that as hard as he could. And instead of the mug shattering, it just went and stuck in the side of this wall of his garage, and that was it. So he's like, all right, I'll have to make do with that. And Jimmy Jacobs was there, like, drinking, going, oh, that's a good story. And he goes, yeah. And then Kevin Steen goes, yeah, I was 17. And then everyone from Jimmy Jacobs to the people behind the camera start laughing. Like, imagine it's like a 10-year-old kid or something playing in. He's like, oh, I was 17. He's like, nearly an adult. Amazing. Hello, Diddleroonies. I'm getting better at pronouncing these. I'm probably in a small community as a professional
sorry,
wrestler.
Sorry. I've thought of it. Sorry to bring that
up. Jack.
I've thought of an actual answer to the last one rather than just big boy. When Excalibur does his Falcon Arrow joke, I quite like that every time. No one kicks out of the Falcon Arrow. And then everyone always kicks out of the fight. Right, yeah. Sorry for that. I just wanted to give a proper answer. There you go.
That was a good answer. Thank you, Jack.
Cheers.
Number two. Hello, Dillaroonies. I am probably in a small community as a professional wrestling fan in Turkey. Ooh. I grew up as a wrestling fan due to WWE SmackDown Shut Your Mouth video game and some dated WCW footage in one of our local TV channels in the early 2000s. But because of I didn't have enough accessibility to wrestling expert articles on WWE's website and not one wrestling fan friend to chat about it, I stopped following wrestling in my high school days. After I found you guys in the Name Redacted and the Cultaholic, the fire ignited in me, and I'm again a wrestling fan thanks to you. When I look back, my first wrestling memory is Rey Mysterio Jr. kicking Ric Flair into a swimming pool in WCW, and thanks to WWE Network, I found out it's from May 3rd, 99 edition of WCW Nitro. I love that match and that specific moment because it reminds me of the pure, childish wrestling fan in me that believes kayfabe and enjoys watching these larger-than-life superstars. My question is, what is the memory that makes you feel like me described above? Thank you for your great content. Stay safe. Dylan from Istanbul/Turkey. Well, thank you very much, Dylan. It says, it's D-I-L-A-N. I assume it's not Dylan, like Bob Dylan, so I'm saying Dylan. Hope you got that right, pal. And that is a nice question. And it's a good moment. Have you seen that episode of Nitro?
No.
No.
Oh, it's spring break, so every year they do it, like the ring in the pool, not in the pool, but on the pool. And so everyone would go in, and they were saving it for Rey Mysterio Jr., who I believe was Cruiserweight Champion at the time, kicking Ric Flair out, and he goes, whoa, does the 180 right into it, and that's how the show goes off the air. Great moment. I think that's also when Kevin Nash, who's blitzed, is like calling people out, and he goes, oh yeah, you gonna come get me? He goes, I bet you didn't know I was a former Olympic diving champion in Germany or whatever. Just does a cannonball out and just swims to safety away from who's coming out. But yeah, it's an interesting one there. Favorite memory of something that you liked when, reminds you of when you were a kid? The pure, childish wrestling fan in you. I'm going to say Kane versus Big Show versus Raven from WrestleMania X7. Because it's a complete car wreck, but I love it anyway. From the golf cart, from nearly ending the pay-per-view due to the golf cart not working, getting thrown through a window, Kane taking longer to lock a door that takes Big Show to open it, and then jumping off the stage. It's great on the HD footage on the network. It's so blatant. Kane does a leg drop off the top, and it's like a bouncy castle he lands on. It's like, oh, what a devastating leg drop, then pins. good times. What have you got for us, Ross?
I was going to say anything to do with Kane as well. Not so much now being scared of him, but I was absolutely terrified of that man when I was a kid. And anything he would do, I would always like watch, but like, absolutely papping myself endlessly. But that was before we knew the scars were psychological. I thought, like everybody did, I'm sure, that a man, who was a kid obviously back then, a man was there with a scarred face, with his perfect one arm, rest of his body covered in scars. So yeah, anything to do with Kane back then.
Yeah, so Ross is a big fan of Bruce Pritchard's kid. What about you, Jack?
Mine's because I tweeted a very similar question to this the other day, and there's been a lot of different responses. But my example was a match that I talked about on my Desert Island Graps episode with Tom, and it was one of the three matches I picked, which was Blackman versus Albert from like a random SmackDown in 2000 at some point. And it was, yeah, because it's just one of the first episodes of wrestling that I guess I taped off the telly and just had on VHS. And it's a hardcore championship defense for Blackman. And it's just really fun. It only lasts a few minutes. It's probably not that good, but I just remember it as a kid just thinking, this is brilliant. And just Blackman's just, he was my guy when I was little. So it's that one. And there's also a really funny bit afterwards where Blackman's just been, Albert's just been absolutely dealt with by Blackman. And Trish Stratus is his manager, and she's just so disappointed on the outside. In hindsight, it's really funny. She's like, I thought he was going to win. I just like it. I like everything about that match. It's stupid, but it's a nice one.
What's your preferred Blackman theme? Is it...
No.
Or is it...
Yeah. That one. I'm more Little Sticks era Blackman than Nunchuck era Blackman. Yeah.
What about you, Ross? Are you a Head Cheese era Blackman fan, or...?
None. I'm actually current day, well, current-ish day Blackman, when he's berating women. Get down here, you fat bitch, I think he said to that woman how he's going into a house. You seen that video with his bounty hunting program?
I'm just going to pretend that it's just a video of Blackman.
Just follow Steve Bratman around on a Sunday. Yeah, you need to put context on that. I know that sounded bad coming out of my mouth there. It's a bounty hunting program, and some woman must have owed something. So he's gone round and she's going, "Get away, Steve," and she's throwing cups at him, I think.
Steve. He says, "You're former WWF hardcore champion, Steve Blackman."
And then he shouts back up and berates her. Fantastic scenes.
God. Moving quickly on. Question number three. Hello, everyone. I was watching a Chinese film called Master Z, Ip Man Legacy, in, I think it's called Ip Man. Is it IP Man? I know it's referring to, but whatever. Ip Man Legacy, in which Batista plays the villain. In closing moments of the final fight of the movie, Batista goes for a powerbomb, but the protagonist reversed into a Hurricane Rana. In brackets, great movie, I really recommend it. But this got me thinking about all the times wrestling has randomly showed up in movies or TV shows. Can you think of any time you popped for anything wrestling-related showing up in something that you watched? I always popped for John Wick hitting an angle slam. I don't remember that. In John Wick Chapter 3. I was going to talk about Kevin Nash showing up, but that's fair enough. The Hardy Boys with The Rock as Rocky Johnson in That 70s Show. That's right. MacGruber recruiting a team of soldiers consisting of Jericho, Mark Henry, MVP, Great Khali, Kane and Big Show. Only for them all to die in explosion 3 minutes later. Oh, is that what happens? Thanks again for all that you do. Tristan Glover from Tennessee. And I recognise that name, so I think I've seen
it. Oh, it's Tristan
Twitter.
Again. Yeah.
Thanks, Tristan.
He gets in the mailbag quite a lot.
He does.
I think it's Ross's alter ego.
He pays me money.
We should start doing that. Just sending in like, Ross, why are you so good? From not Ross.
I try to avoid those ones, to be honest with you.
From the great state of Wyoming. So, yeah, times wrestlers have showed up and you'd be like, what are you doing here? I've got one, but let Jack go first to be polite.
The Longest Yard remake with Adam Sandler.
That's a good one.
Yeah, because I didn't know that all those wrestlers were in it. Who's in it? Austin's obviously there.
Austin,
and Nash.
Goldberg. Bob Sapp, if he
Bob
counts.
Sapp.
Great, yeah. Khali.
Obviously, I didn't recognise Bob Sapp at the time. I wasn't like, that's Bob Sapp. But the others I did. Who was Cheeseburger? Was that Bob Sapp? The one who just liked burgers?
I don't remember the detail of that.
It was probably,
that
it was
film
probably
that well.
Bob Sapp.
I remember going, ow, I broke my nose.
It's not a great film when all these wrestlers are being given the runaround by Nelly. Ugh.
And Burt Reynolds.
And well, he's on the side. I think he is in it.
Yeah, because he was in the original. Though.
Yeah, he plays it. Yeah.
Adam Sandler books his mates, so he's like every other wrestling promoter.
Is Rick Schneider in it? Oh, sorry.
He has to be, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ross.
Even though I don't think I was watching live at the time, because I think it would have been about two or three maybe, when The Undertaker's on that Saturday morning TV show with Ant and Deck.
It's not Live and Kicking, is it? It's something else.
And I think it's the one that must have come before that. It looks like sort of 94-year-a Taker, judging by his clothes. But yeah, they just get assaulted by The Undertaker on a bouncy castle. And they're calling him out and talking smack right to his, like, behind his back, and then he plucks them out off the floor. Yeah. I miss Saturday morning TV. Never awake to see it these days.
Yeah. On a similar note, Sabrina the Teenage Wish. I forget the episode. I forget why it's happening. I just know, like all the other shows at the time during this, they go, oh, something, something. The only way to fix today's issue is blah, 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 wrestling match. And somehow, Billy Gunn shows up and gets in a fight with Salem the Cat. If you haven't watched the show, Billy Gunn is a giant man from the wrestling world, and Salem the Cat is a cat. And Salem the Cat absolutely... like, Billy Gunn's holding him. I forgot on YouTube, it's probably wrong, but my memory is like, Billy Gunn's having a sell for this cat, so he's holding the cat like, Rick falls down, he's like, oh no! And it doesn't last very long, but it's tremendous stuff, so... Billy Gunn jobbing to Salem the Cat. Oh, God.
That's a good one.
Sweating after
it's
that
good.
Reenactment. Those were some great questions. Thank you very much from all corners of the globe. Please, if you have any thoughts, questions, opinions, anything you want to let us know, apart from a certain state in America, please send them to mailbag@cultaholic.com. And now it's time for Reese's Pieces, the sequel no one wanted to The Mailbag. Hello, lads. an animal-themed one today for reasons. Some of these are really tenuous, so Mafu may sound like he's given up more than he usually does by the end of this. Enjoy. Good. Some of these are like 15 minutes long. How am I? For the people who haven't seen this before, it's fastest thought first, so don't be blaming people for their horrible opinions. The big dog Roman Reigns or the stone pit bull Ishii? I'm going to go Jack, Ross, me. Jack, who have you got?
I like Ishii.
Roman.
The big dog, woof woof, because you can book him on Cameo. Bull Buchanan or Bull Nakano?
Oh, Bull Buchanan, he's my boy. Bull Buchanan.
WrestleMania 2000 show stealer, Bull Buchanan.
SummerSlam 94 show stealer, Bull Nakano, any day. The Texas Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin, or The Viper, Randy Orton. Snakes. Who have you got, Jake?
What?
Jake. Jack. Because I said snake. Jack the Snap. Roberts, what have you got?
Jack the Snap. Is that with two C's, Matthew?
Because he's tasty.
I'll go for Austin anyway. Austin.
Yeah, Stone Cold.
Yeah, why not? Who cares about the answer? Ricky the Dragon Steamboat or American Dragon? Daniel Bryanson.
Probably Brian.
Ricky the Dragon with his actual dragon.
Actual literal dragon. American Dragon. Just because I've seen him. Lindsay Dorado or Tiger Mask?
Oh, well, that's not fair because obviously I'm going to pick Lindsay, but he's a far less influential figure in the world of wrestling. Yeah, Lindsay.
Even though I've seen more of Lindsay, I'll go Tiger Mask.
I'll say Lindsay. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, because I've seen more Lindsay.
I'll say Lindsay because he sent me a DM after I said how good his match with Kalisto was. And he was saying, thank you very much. He said, gracias.
Lindsay sent you a DM?
Only time he's ever spoken to me, so I'm not sure if he likes me. I think that's where he went, oh, I wonder who that was. Oh, it's him. But I was like, yeah, mate. Great match, by the way. He didn't pay me. Moose or Rhino?
Moose.
Rhino.
Rhino.
We've met. Moose was one of the boys. How can you say that?
I wasn't one of the boys.
I was one of his boys until I checked his Twitter. Road Warrior Hawk or Road Warrior Animal?
I'm not a big fan of either Road Warrior, to be honest. I know that's not a nice thing to say, but I'll go for Animal in the ring. Animal.
I'll go for Hawk after that revelation on Dark Side of the Ring, how he took the gimmick to Japan. Ultimate poo-housery. And I'm here for that kind of bollocks.
Yeah, I mean, a complete poo-housery there. I'm going to go Road Warrior Hawk, not because of that, just because of the amazing promo skills. It's like every promo with well, so fantastic. I have to ask, you don't rate the Road Warriors, Jack?
They were never for me. I don't know. I just don't think they're very good.
Like any period? Because if you like judging by like
probably like
then,
yeah, sure. I've probably not watched enough of them during their peak. I've probably only been more familiar with like LOD 2000 when they were bad. But I did like when Animal appeared at an indie show over WrestleMania weekend once and introduced Ric Flair as like a good worker. That was good.
What is that? What he said? Like, I am Road Warrior Animal, and here's a good worker, Ric Flair.
It was one of the shows where like an ambulance didn't turn up, so they had to delay it for like half an hour. So they sent Animal out to kill some time while he was opening the show, and then they were like, well, we can't leave Animal out there for like 20 minutes on his own, so we'll have to send someone else out. And apparently Ric Flair was there, and he was like, I'll do it. So Animal gets in the ring and does his bit speech and then goes, I'd like to introduce someone now. He's a good worker. It's Ric Flair. Everyone's like, what? It's Ric Flair? But he just went, he's a good worker.
He's a good worker. And the crowd went, he means Ric Flair. The Funkasaurus, Brodus Clay, or Luchasaurus?
Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus.
I'll say Funkasaurus because, well, I don't know. Jake the Snake Roberts, related to Jack, or Ultimo Dragon?
Oh, Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake.
Yeah, I'm going to say Jake Snake. To his promos on AEW this week. The Lone Wolf, Baron Corbin, or Kid Lykos?
Kid Lykos.
Who was also a Lone Wolf, I guess.
Big Baron.
Kid Like Us, because he's been replaced now, isn't it? There's Kid Like Us 2.
Mm.
He's regenerated like that Doctor Who chap.
I've met Kid Like Us 1, and he's a lovely... He's had a lovely little...
Lovely
lad.
Little
That's so paralyzing.
Oh,
that's
no.
so paralyzing. He could batter me. He's a wrestler.
I mean, you're right, but you shouldn't
he's a
say
lovely.
It.
He's a lovely man. Lovely.
Oh, you'll love Kid Like Us 2, then. He's even smaller. You could have him under your hat. Ray Phoenix or Rhea Ripley. And it says that after Rhea, it's a bird.
What,
is
a
it?
Ripley? Or Rhea? A Rhea.
A Ripley...
No, no, a Rhea. Must be a
Rhea. I heard what you said. Hang on, let me just check that. Rhea, the sky god, blah, blah. Oh, Rhea Bird, Rhea in South America. I did not know that, pal. Ooh, okay, they look like ostriches.
No, Ripley then.
I'm not Googling Ripley.
Anyway, I'm going for Phoenix.
Believe it or not. Who have you got then?
Phoenix.
Ah, yeah, well, Wrestler of the Year. What? That was it, wasn't it? Last year, the Wrestler
oh,
of the Year.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Rhea Phoenix.
Yeah, do you know,
do you know who I think's a front runner this year? Hangman Page. He's been phenomenal. That's just what I'm saying right now.
Is that what we'll be doing next month? Because it'll be the half year point.
Yeah,
the half
true.
Year awards.
Just call God. It the Diz.
Yeah.
The did. The Beast incarnate Brock Lesnar or the Beast Dan Severn?
Oh, Lesnar.
Yeah, Lesnar.
Oh, it's got to be that Dan the Beast, Sweaty Armpit 7. Are you kidding? Oh. Ernest the Cat Miller or The Cat? That's with a K, so not the WCW guy from 2000. No,
oh.
Jerry Lawler's.
I'll go for Salem the Cat with his 1-0 record.
Yeah, that counts.
I'll go for the cat in that YouTube fella's video where he's saving all the shots. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You seen it?
Oh.
Is that Chris MD or something? He does all the shots on YouTube. He's playing football in his living room with a cat and he's kicking the whatever little ball he has towards the goal, Matthew, and the cat is jumping and saving it with his paws. It's incredible.
Wow.
I should have nominated that for the Hall of Fame instead.
Yeah, you know what? That sounds better than anything we've talked about on the show so far. On that note, I'm going to go with Heathcliff. He's got the best song. George Animal Steel or the Animal Batista?
Batista, but I like George Steele.
Batista.
Henry O. Godwin, in brackets, hog, or Phineas I. Godwin, in brackets, pig.
Oh, no, I knew. is Phineas Midian?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go for Henry then instead.
Henry was the bigger one, wasn't he?
He was the hog father.
Henry was the good one. Yeah, you know, for the exact reason Jack said Henry. The British Bulldog or JYD, Junkyard Dog?
Oh, the British Bulldog.
Aye, the Bulldog.
Aye, Bulldog, jeans and all. The Weasel, Bobby Heenan, or Gorilla Monsoon?
Oh,
that is hard. You can't have one without the other. I'll go for Heenan because he was a manager and a commentator, but it's not a fair one, that.
It's like picking between your own kids, isn't it? Heenan would be my slightly more favourite child.
It's like picking your kid. Yeah, I've got a favourite. Bobby Heenan. Raven or Scotty Flamingo?
Raven.
I'm going to say Scotty Flamingo.
Because
he's a very underrated, not to be a dick, but he's a very underrated character. It's just the fact that, you know, as soon as he left, Vince was like, oh, phew. I'm glad we never have to see him again. And he got signed in 2000 and he wasn't happy. Pitbull 1 or Pitbull 2?
Mr. Worldwide.
Take a nice out of my mouth.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'll go with that then. Then try and remember which one's which.
Yeah, the one that was called Gary.
Yeah, Gary Wolf is... Yeah, whoever which one Gary Wolf is, and not the other one in his horrible, horrible, ugly demise that we'll move on from. Shark Boy or The Shark, in brackets, John Tenta in WCW?
Oh, I've not seen enough Shark Boy actually. I'll go for John Tenta because I liked him as Earthquake, but I didn't like the shark gimmick. But I'll go for Earthquake.
I'll go for John Tenta for that tattoo story. What was the story, Matthew? He had
a lion.
Yeah.
Very clearly visible. WWF and everything else like that. And then he went to WCW and they said, well, we'll pay to have it changed. And I remember there being in Power Slam magazine years ago, really clear photo of it. It is the ugliest tattoo alteration you've ever seen in your life. Please, if you take one thing away from this episode, if you're still watching, please look for Earthquake John Tenther's modified thing into a shark.
Oh, it turned into a shark.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of works, but you go, it looks really odd. Why is that? Oh, it used to be not a shark.
How John Tenner was deceptively younger than he looked in his prime. I was shocked. I remember when I Googled how old he was at the time. I was like, what? He was just born to be a heel, big heel wrestler, I guess.
Yeah. That's a good thought, Jack. We've got nothing to add to that, so.
No, I'm not, sorry.
No, thank you for that. I also like Mr. John Tenner.
Yeah.
Unrelated, Mantar or El Torito?
El Torito for the WLC, man.
Yeah, El Torito.
Yes, that's more entertainment than Mantar did in his entire WF stint. No, Mantar. Mantar, because the story that he wrestled Razor Ramon one time, he comes to the ring, he's got the big F-off moo hat, and takes it off, goes, moo, and then Razor just slaps.
That mime of that slap was excellent. That was really good.
Thank you. Take Ali Singh. Oh my god. Or Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox.
Oh yeah, big Alicia Fox every time.
Yeah, Alicia Fox in brackets with Noam Dar. The Yeti. Wait a minute. Or the gobbledygooker.
The Yeti every day.
I'd go Yeti as well.
So is that an animal now?
Yeah. Well, we had the beast.
Well, no, it wasn't a Yeti, was it? It was a mummy.
It was,
so
yeah,
I'm picking
the
gobbledygooker because it's disqualified in this fine, prestigious Reese's Pieces we're doing.
Tony Schiavone mispronouncing Yeti will forever get a laugh out of me, no matter how many times I've heard it. It's the Yeti!
And you know what, Tim, because his legacy is the way he pronounced it. So the guy spelled it Yeti with an A on the end, as opposed to, like, you know, how else spelled
the Yeti showed...
The
Yeti showed up in a Being the Elite episode right at the end once.
Good.
Cody tells his ski mask joke. You know, he goes, and I said, no, but that's a nice ski mask. And then everyone laughs. And the camera pulls out and the Yeti is next to him. And he's laughing along. And he's like 8 foot tall. He's so massive, the Yeti. I love him so much. Ron Rees, what a legend.
Yeah.
Oh.
Last one, Pegasus Kid or the Rabid Wolverine?
I'm not going to choose. Why is that one on there?
Wait a minute.
I'm not going to choose that.
I just realised, like, I'm thinking, Pegasus, does that really count as an animal? I'm like, oh, it's the same bloke.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick one there.
Let's move on then.
What was the five-star wrestling alternative for the Pegasus Kid?
Was it like Wild Pegasus.
It was something to do with Pegasus. In the game itself, not an actual wrestler. Oh.
Yeah,
when did WCW book Chris Benoit? What did they call him to avoid copyright issues?
I can't remember what he was called in Five Star Wrestling. Regenesis.
Someone will know in the comments.
We'll check during the break. But we'll just move on from that last question. We should have ended with the Yeti. Thanks for all you do. Seymour Butts. Hey. Or Alex Hartley. Nah, I'll call you Seymour. Thank you for that enormous list. Even when you truncated it, it was still long as hell. But thank you very much. It was a lot of laughs. If you have any Reese's Pieces, please, 10. Just do 10 entries. Okay? And we'll be very happy if you send
That's
us one. Few. Otherwise, we'll ignore you. And if you have them, please send them to mailbag@cultaholic.com.
It's Cultaholics.
The question.
Wow. What a great podcast. And that's not the end. We have a big question now to send us home happy. And that big question is, what's going to be the best match at this Saturday's AEW Double or Nothing 2020 pay-per-view extravaganza? But before we load up the card and see what's happening, Jack is going to tell us the important thing is the five-star wrestling video game roster.
Yeah, I've got the roster up here. We can turn this into a very short game because there's only, I think, 8 characters. But if I say one, you can guess who that's a parody of. So we've got Andy Organ. it's quite hard. You might need a few seconds. There's Curtis Angel. I'll leave the Pegasus one till the end because it is weird. Greg Hardy, which is, you know, Jeff Hardy.
Is it?
This one's my favourite. This one's my favourite. Harvey D. Harvey D.
RVD.
RVD. It's Rob Van Dam. Okay. Harvey D. Johnny Maivia, which isn't even an attempt to be like any different. Mike Iceberg.
Goldberg.
Yeah, it's Bill Goldberg. Ragnar Brock, which is Lesnar. And then the Pegasus one is kind of a mashup of Benoit and another wrestler because it's Dynamite Pegasus. Yeah.
Wow. Dynamite Pegasus.
Players Dynamite Pegasus.
I've had that cocktail.
Or Johnny
Thank you very much for that.
Sorry.
Five star video game. Those were not the ratings the magazines gave them. But yes, never mind that.
I'd feel bad if the people involved with Five Star weren't sort of cocks on the whole.
Dodgy as hell, you mean, yes. But what isn't dodgy? There you go. AEW Double or Nothing. The card as it is, according to the fine people at Wikipedia, Cody Rhodes with Arn Anderson and Brandy takes on Lance Archer with Jake Roberts in the tournament final for the inaugural, that means first, AEW TNT Championship, which will be hand-delivered by Mike Tyson.
Oh.
Hopefully, with that, he'll look at the camera and go, thank you for this. I'm also, unrelated, going to have a fight with Vander Holyfield in Saudi Arabia.
And buy my weed.
Buy my weed. I needed to get to Saudi Arabia. So outside of Tyson, oh no, we'll go through the entire card. There we go, I'm being very silly here. MJF with Wardlow takes on Jungle Boy, apparently with no one because the rest of the Lucha Posse is sodden off. John Moxley, who is the AEW World Champion, will hopefully get his title back off. Brody Lee, who's half inched it. And then the Casino Ladder Match between, bear with me, Darby Allin, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, Frankie Kazarian, Luchasaurus, and to be announced. Ooh. Nyla Rose will defend the women's world title against Hikaru Shida in a no DQ, no count out match. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, will hopefully take on Chris Statlander. Not sure about that, though. Have to wait and see. Dustin Rhodes versus Sean Spears. Exactly what I just said. Have to see if that happens or not. Private Party take on the best friends in the, what do they call it? Pre-show, kickoff,
buying,
loading, getting your lippy on, whatever. And the main event will be the Stampede.
Oh, is that the main event?
Stadium Stampede match. I think this could be the main event. I'm not too sure.
I think it probably, it might, maybe.
I'd bet on this one being the main event.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy and the Elite, Adam Page, Kenny Omega, Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, in brackets, but not his ribs, versus the Inner Circle, Jericho, Hager, Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz. God, a lot on there. 9 matches.
So I think it's a good card.
Yeah, Jack, we'll go with you because you're the lovely one. What do you think is going to be the best match there?
Now, my heart says the Stadium Stampede match because how could it not be? But as an alternative, I'll go for the Casino Ladder match. I think it's quite intriguing. And there's a bit of a unique setup. I think it's going to be more like a rumble where there's like staggered entry. So that could make it really good if they think it out properly and less of like just a big schmoz, which sometimes ladder matches can turn into. So I'll go for that one. I'll go for the Casino Ladder match. What about you, Matthew?
It's weird. I'm looking forward to the video package for Cody versus Lance. Probably as much as the match itself. So, no, you know what? I'm reminded that Cody has consistently had the best match on pay-per-view. Every pay-per-view they've done. So, yeah, why not bet on the man? Cody versus Lance Archer.
Cody always delivers.
He is. He's like, just eat. What have you got, Robert?
I would go for the Stadium Stampede match as well, but I'm looking forward to Moxley versus Big Brody, me. Because I think, you know, this is Brody's first big sort of world title match since he left WWE. I think everyone sort of wants to, you know, have him shove it in Vince McMahon's face a bit. So I think it's just going to go along and it's going to be... Because I've got to admit, the promo that Brody did on AEW this week was... I wasn't a fan at all. It didn't make much sense to me. The delivery was a bit disjointed. A bit like me watching me talk. So I just let the wrestling do the talking. Put the crappy gimmick to one side for half an hour, whatever. I think they'll just knock 7 bells out of each other. That'd be great.
Doing yourself a disservice there, Ross, but I understand what you're saying. And Yeah, to be honest with you, it's one of those things where I look at and go, God, they could all be really good matches. Like, I like Nyla Rose in the no DQ environment, where she's at her best.
Mm.
Private Party, always kill. MJF versus Jungle Boy, looking forward to see. I think they've done a very good job of hyping this up. And that is, of course, because we hate wrestling, but we love getting paid by Tony Khan every week. That's right. He's keeping the electricity on. Thank you, Tony Khan, our Lord and Savior. Any other thoughts on the card there, Jack?
Matthew, who do you think is going to be the mystery entrant in the ladder match?
Well, I mean, that would be the perfect time to have Evander Holyfield come in.
Imagine if it's Holyfield.
Imagine if it's Michael, bloody, what's he call off that documentary?
Jordan.
He's got blank Jordan.
Michael
here.
Jordan.
Oh, you forgot the name of Michael Jordan.
I forgot the name of Michael Jordan.
You know, the good worker from the Chicago Bulls.
Jordan comes out, he hears someone said something was bullcrap. And I thought, you're saying the Bulls are crap? Well, I'm going to show you. And he just rocks up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matthew. Cheers.
Yeah, nice. Nice.
Thank you.
Scotty, yeah, think you can get a system.
Mm.
Throw him up there.
Oh, it should be Rodman, shouldn't it? Of course. He's got preview. Yeah.
It'll just be the all of 98. Tyson, Holyfield, Rodman.
I like Sam's prediction of Chris Hero.
What was Sam's? Oh.
Chris Hero, yeah. I think that's a decent shout.
It's more likely to be him than it is Drew Gulak, if what you said is true.
Well, yeah, I don't know if... But I don't know if Cody was just being a wrestler about it and just working all of us. So I don't know. I've gone for MJF, which I think is a regretful decision now.
Oh, you think he'll beat Jungle Boy and then...
I think he might lose to Jungle Boy and then rock up in the ladder match and steal the spot. But... I don't know. I don't know about that anymore. I'm feeling a bit silly about that one.
Nice. Who do you think, Ross? Or are you putting all your money on MJ?
No, well, maybe now. But I went for Gulak, me. I don't know. I spent a full 20 minutes trying to think of who it might be, and I've got no idea. And that's the best possible way to look at it, isn't it? It's not obvious this time, I think.
Yeah. And who knows, we may get some appearance of a little tag team called The Revolt. Either the WWE one or the other one. Who knows?
Do you think they'll show up yet? I don't know. If they did show up, it would be very exciting, but I don't know.
It would. I am looking forward to watching this. God, I wish I had some friends over I could watch them with. I can't. That sucks. Wait, do Cultaholic do some sort of watch-along gimmick?
Yeah. Do they?
Yeah. Who does it? Who's the fine folks at Cultaholic who do this watch-along?
Everyone's favourite Cultaholic member, Adam Pacitti.
Oh, are there any others that they do?
Not this time. It's just Adam Pacitti.
Deathly silence there for mocking our Lord. Sorry.
No,
Mr.
that's
Pacitti
just because. It's just because he's the only one doing one this time.
Oh.
Because it takes when we did that WrestleMania reactions video where we spliced all of our reactions together, the editing team nearly passed away.
Oh, fair enough then. Yeah, these are long shows. Mm. And in fairness, though, Pacitti is the man who can tweet out. Windmills, get over 1,000 retweets. Hey, he knows his business better than me. God bless him. And I would love to watch him live stream it if I had no other friends to watch it along with during these hard times. So thankfully, Cultaholic is doing that. But what about you two guys who I like as well?
What is this?
I'm awkwardly segueing the other stuff I've got on the Cultaholic channel, you get. If I'm not watching along with Cultaholic... Some little, segue, whatever. What are the videos are you going to be putting out this week?
But you're doing it like the bit in Men in Black where the alien goes inside the bloke for the first time and he's working out, he's walking like that down the street.
Was that not natural?
When he asks for sugar and water. Oh, God.
All right, that guy.
Yeah.
If I wanted to watch wrestling.
That film's so good. I'll be doing a What Happened At immediately following the show. Also, Wrestlers of the Week. We'll already be out because the podcast goes out on Friday, doesn't it? And I think that's it for my coverage of... I'm doing the What Happened At straight after it. What about you, Ross?
Yeah, I'll have that WTF moments crap later on Sunday. tiered list, me and Jack did one for every Money in the Bank ladder match ever. Hopefully that'll be out. Haven't heard from Sam. It's always a bit in the balance.
But can something have gone wrong?
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
Oh God, oh, it took so long. So
it might. Yeah, it might go out. It might not. Hopefully, it will. It was a cracking video. Everyone had a great time.
That was good.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that you're putting on these Lord of the Rings length videos about every Money in the Bank ladder match, every Rumble match, every wrestling match since 1993 will be rated
what,
in a video.
What have people got? Nothing you
wanna,
going on.
You want to see? You want to see one of the topics that's coming out towards the end of the year?
Yeah, don't. Yeah, no.
I'm not saying what it is.
No.
But, goodness.
It's going to be crazy.
Well, my appetite is being whetted, but that'll have to do for now. I'll have to starve until next week's Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast. Thank you very much for watching. Remember the Hall of Fame. You can go vote for that on patreon.com/cultaholic. You can send us questions, thoughts, begs for mercy to mailbag@cultaholic.com. That is, actually, I don't know where we are, so I'll just point in every direction. That has been Jack, and that has been Ross, wherever he is on the screen. We'd like to end these shows by putting our hands against the camera, webcam, laptop, TV, whatever, you freak, and saying on the count of three, you know the song by now, 1, 2, 3, join us.
Join us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.